Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Eastside Baptist Church, where the unfallible Word of God is taught by the pastor Andrew Donaldson. We hope that this message that Andrew Donaldson brings will help you as you walk your daily life. Now, let's tune in to the message.
There we go. Are you ready to get in the Word? Yeah, amen. Turn with me to Matthew, book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew 25. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we need you. We need your Spirit to lead us this morning. Lord, this is a routine of ours, so Lord, it is likely that we can come and go and not be changed. Lord, we pray that that would not be true of us today. We pray that you would do a work in us that only you can. You would do a work in us that when we leave here today and look back on this day from a year, 2 years, 5 years from now, Lord, we would be able to say that you did something in our hearts, in our lives, that can only be explained by you, by what you can do, your power, the work of your Spirit. Lord, lead us with your Spirit, Father. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Do you remember when you learned how to ride a bike? Remember the training wheels? You know, there's a fad happening right now. There's something called a balance bike. Anybody seen a balance bike? They don't have pedals. And the kids are supposed to learn how to ride them by just like pushing and shoving on the ground and then picking their feet up and balancing. And then they can just transition to a regular bicycle without training wheels. But that wasn't the story for most of us, right? We learned training wheels and we learned hitting the ground and riding and wearing a helmet and then finding the bigger hill to jump and the bigger drop off to go over with their bicycles and falling and going home and doing all that stuff, right? But we didn't start jumping over hills, did we? You fellas know what I'm talking about, don't you? Josh Gaines, you didn't start there, did you? No. Started with training wheels. And this morning I want us to think about something. Now, when the preacher says stewards or stewardship, we think money, yeah. Or you think, oh, goodness, right? But I want us to, we're looking at a parable on stewardship this morning from Jesus. And I want us to start off with a thought in our minds. When it comes to stewardship and the things that God has called us to steward, we need to realize something, that money is the training wheels of stewardship. Because if we cannot trust the Lord with our money, how in the world are we going to trust the Lord with our eternity? How are we going to trust Him with our children and their lives? How are we going to trust Him when our marriage is falling apart and it would be so much easier to walk out the door? If we can't trust Him with our money. Money is the training wheels. The training wheels of stewardship. So when we talk about stewardship this morning, we most certainly need to talk about money and think along those lines, but we must not stop there. We must not stop there. We're going to look at the parable of the talents this morning. And to fully understand the stewardship that Jesus is calling us to and the height of the priority that He's calling us to, we need to see the context. So before we even read this parable, if you'll just zoom out with me and look at 24 and the first part of 25 and even the last part of 25, we'll see that Jesus is telling this parable within the context of something that he's talking about. And the context that he's talking about is the coming of the kingdom of heaven, and specifically his return. He is teaching on how to be ready when he returns. And then he tells this parable. He's teaching on how to be ready when he returns. Readiness, that's what the parable of the 10 virgins in the first part of chapter 25 is about. Readiness for his return, watching for his return, eagerness for his return. And then he talks and he tells about the parable of the talents. Are you ready? Let's read. We're going to read the first couple of verses here. We're going to do some starting and stopping this morning. We're going to pull four pieces of truth out of God's word, straight out of this parable this morning. And then we're just going to pray that the Lord would lead us to not just know how it applies to our lives, but to apply it to our lives. Let's read. Beginning in verse 14. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money." So the first thing we need to see is in verse 14. He says, "For it will be like a man." Now we can back up to the beginning of chapter 25 and look at verse 1. He says, "The kingdom of heaven will be like." So he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about the return of himself to us, to his people. And so he says, "For the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property." And we see that he entrusts one man with 5 talents. And he's not talking about the ability to juggle or twirl a baton or play football really well. He's talking about a denomination of money, a large denomination of money that was known as a talent. So he gives one man 5 talents. He gives one man 2 talents, and he gives one man 1 talent. He says, "To each according to his ability." We see that the man with 5 talents went and used those talents to earn 5 more talents. So he brings back to his master 10 talents. The man with 2 talents does the same thing, goes out and earns with those talents as much as he was given. So he earns 2 more, and he brings back to his master 4. And then we see the man with 1 talent go dig a hole and put it in it and wait for his master to return. What we need to see here first and foremost, our first piece of truth this morning, is that every person is entrusted by God as a steward. We're not given stuff to be owned by us. We are given stuff, whether it be money or it be ability or it be people in our lives, or it be knowledge, the ability to learn and to teach. We are given these things not to be owners of them ourselves, but to steward, to take responsibility of, to care for, not as our own, but as the Lord's. Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2, you can write this down. "The Lord, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." Everything. I am the Lord's. Everything I own is the Lord's. It's not mine. All of us are the Lord's. He created us. And everything that fills the earth is the Lord's. He created the earth. He founded it upon the seas. So all that we are and all that we have is his. And so we need to say this too. Whether we know and follow Jesus or not, We are called to be his stewards. I want you to look back at, you can write this down too. Genesis 1, 28 says to Adam, God says to Adam, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. He entrusts Adam as a steward of all of his creation. Not as an owner, but as a steward. And we see in these chapters, in the very beginning of God's word, at the beginning of Genesis, the blueprint for who we are supposed to be as the human race. And that is stewards of all that God has created. We are not owners of it. God does not need us or our stuff. He is the owner of us and our stuff. Psalm 50:10 says, the cattle on a thousand hills is his. The cattle on a thousand hills is his. He does not need us or our resources. We are his, and all we have is his. We are his stewards, whether we recognize it or not. So we see, just in this, these first few verses of this parable, that Jesus is reflecting this truth that we see throughout the whole counsel of God's word. That everyone has been entrusted by God as a steward. And here's the reality for us this morning. Living on this side of the New Testament, on this side of the most extraordinary and awesome event in human history, the life of Jesus, his death on the cross on our behalf and his resurrection. The reality for us is the only way for us to meet that calling of stewarding ourselves and what he has given us well is to follow Jesus and trust him with everything. So here's the first question when it comes down to stewardship this morning. Have you trusted Jesus with everything? Or do you just come to church? Have you trusted Jesus with everything? If you zoomed out on your life, would you be one of the people in the crowd that followed Jesus around, was a fan of his? Or would you be one of the people that stuck around through his crucifixion and his resurrection and continued to follow? Because that's where good stewardship begins. Surrendering everything, all we are and all we have. That's the first question we need to answer this morning. We are called and entrusted by God as a steward. Let's continue reading. You with me? Okay, just making sure. All right. Verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So here, let's just pause here for a second. Remember the context here. Jesus is teaching on the coming kingdom of heaven. He's teaching on the day he will return and our responsibility to be ready for that day. And in this parable, we see the master return. Okay, that's what we're about to see what happens when he returns. Verse 20. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the ten. For to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Boy, this parable gets serious quick, doesn't it? We see the settling of accounts in these verses here. We see two good and faithful servants, stewards. We see their master return, and the one with five talents come and say, I've earned five more. And he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. The same with the man with two talents. He brings back two more. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And then the one with one. Call him the hypocritical servant. But before we get to him, let's see something here. Let's see our second piece of truth is the fact that good stewardship reveals faithfulness. Good stewardship reveals faithfulness. In other words, good stewardship is evidence of our faith in Jesus. Good stewardship doesn't come before faith. Faith comes first, but good stewardship is evidence that our faith is real. So we see this in the lives of the man with five talents and in the life of the man with two talents. They come back to their master when he returns. And his response to them as a result of their good stewardship is he calls them faithful. Faithful. He doesn't say, well done, you've been a good businessman. Well done, you have been wise with what I've been given, with what I've given you. He says, my good and faithful servant. So here's the reality for us this morning. If we say that we follow Jesus, if we call ourselves a Christian, then our faith in Jesus should be reflected in our stewardship. Not of 10% of what comes into our bank account, but of all we are and all we have. Our faith should be reflected by our stewardship. It's like a litmus test. Right? Where there is faith in Jesus, then there is good stewardship of everything. Not just 10% of our money. Of everything. And all of who we are. It's tough, isn't it? We need to test our hearts with that. I want to challenge you, along with myself, test your heart with that truth. Does your stewardship show that you are faithful? Not your stewardship of your money, but your money and everything else and all of who you are. When someone gives regularly to the local church, it reflects their faith. When someone gives above and beyond to give directly to missions, such as through the Lottie Moon, it shows their faith. When someone sets aside time and gives time to serve Jesus, to spend time with somebody that's grieving or spend time with somebody that's struggling in some specific way, just to be with them, it shows their faith. When parents steward their children well, it shows their faith. Don't get me wrong, like somebody can give and not be faithful. But if someone is faithful, they will give. They will give. Good stewardship reveals faithfulness. Now the opposite is true too. Third piece of truth is a lack of stewardship reveals a lack of faith. Look at the hypocritical servant again. Verse 24. He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master said to him, and listen to his master's response, You wicked and slothful servant. And notice that this next sentence here is a question. He says, You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed? It's kind of a sarcastic question. It's like if you think about the child that has found crayons or markers or paint, and he finds a beautiful white canvas called a wall. And the child takes the crayons and the markers and paints like a rainbow, and we'll make it spiritual, an ark and lots of animals. And the parent comes in and they say, What in the world? You know you're not supposed to draw on the wall. And they look at their parent and they say, What? I didn't mean to. Right? And the parent's like, steam coming out, and the cartoon, the mind is blowing. And they're saying, You drew a rainbow in an arc. You had to have meant to. It's obvious you meant to. You drew all this stuff by accident? And so the master says to his servant who says, I knew you are a hard master. I know that you reap where you did not sow, and you come and gather where you planted no seed. So I didn't do anything with what you gave me. The master looks at him. He's like, your excuse makes zero sense. If you knew that and believed that about me, you would have done, at the very least, invested it and given me back what I already owned with interest, at the very least. But you didn't even do that. You wicked and lazy servant. You see, for this servant in this parable, his lack of stewardship revealed a lack of faith. Maybe it was a lack of faith that his master would actually return. Maybe it was a lack of faith that his master was a good master. We don't know what it is. But his lack of stewardship revealed a lack of faith. And we see that in our own lives. When there is a lack of stewardship in our lives, when we limit our giving and our responsibility to the kingdom of God to 10% of our money, it begins to reveal something. A lack of faith. A lack of faith in Jesus who doesn't call us to follow him with 10% of our money, but calls us to follow him with all we are and all we have. And there it is again. Stewardship is a litmus test for our faith. Where there is no stewardship, there is no faith. We may recognize our responsibility, but the bottom line is that even if we recognize who Jesus is and our responsibility, that all we are and all we have is him, and then we don't follow through with that, we don't follow him as our Lord, all it does is show that we agree with him, but we don't follow him. You see, this man recognized who his master was. He just wasn't a good steward. He just wasn't a good steward. The call to follow Jesus is a call to surrender all we are and all we have. And it's a call to recognize that all we are and all we have is his and always has been his. If we find ourselves in a place where we're saying, I'm a Jesus follower. I believe and I've surrendered my life. I'm a Christian. If we find ourselves in that position this morning, and then we back up and we take this parable and we apply it to our lives as a litmus test, and we say, is there good stewardship present in my life? Does it show that I am faithful to my Lord Jesus, or I'm faithless to my Lord Jesus? And we find that we're faithless. One of two things has taken place. One of two things has taken place. Either for that person, their faith has remained in infancy. Absolute infancy. There's no other way to describe it. Infancy. Completely dependent on others for their faith. Or they simply gave lip service to Jesus and they never surrendered anything to him. It's a dangerous place to be. And that is why at the end of this parable, Jesus shifts from the parable to the reality of hell. Because our stewardship, if it is a litmus to us to our faith and for our faith, and if our stewardship shows that we have a lack of faith, then our faith is not placed in Jesus. And on judgment day, we will not be covered in his righteousness. Now, please don't understand me. I'm not saying you have to give to be a Christian. What I'm saying is if we have surrendered to him and we believe in all the things that he's told us in his good word, then one of the pieces of fruit that will come out of that faith is good stewardship. Please hear me and get the order correct. Faith in Jesus alone, and then fruit. So if that's you this morning, if you have found that one of two things, either your faith has continued to be in its infancy, or you have found that you just simply gave lip service to Jesus, you need to hear the call to repentance this morning. If you're a Jesus follower, you need to be a good steward. I need to be a good steward of all we are and all we have. And if you're not, understand something. Understand that the Jesus that's calling you to steward all that he owns well, you and all your stuff, is the one that gave all he was and is for you. Remember the cross. Like in this conversation about stewardship, let us not forget the cross. The cross where Jesus died and gave his all for us. Not so that we could give a portion back to him, but so that we would follow him with all we are and all we have. And it takes faith to do that. Faith in not just anything, but faith in the one who did it for us. Jesus Christ died for our sin so that we might place faith in him and be forgiven of all our sin and our guilt and our shame removed. And it's guaranteed by his resurrection. And he enables us to be good stewards when we follow him by his Spirit. We may come to this point on this particular Sunday, and we may say, preacher, what's this got to do with Thanksgiving? Come on. But listen, on Thursday or on some day between now and then, we're all going to sit around a table with family, most of us. And the kids are going to sit around the kid table. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And you or somebody else is going to pray out loud and you're going to pray silently and you're going to thank God for all the blessings he's blessed you with. For life and health and the ability to gather and good food and family. And when we look at this parable, what we see is that when we stop to thank the Lord for everything he's given us, we are slapped in the face with the reality that all these things that we're going to thank him for this week are things we are called to steward well. And we find that thankfulness is the first step in good stewardship, because in thankfulness we recognize where it all came from and who owns it all. So on this Thursday, or whenever you're going to sit down and pray, And for you men that are leaders of your families, and you're going to lead your family in prayer, may we pray not as just people who are thankful, but we are thankful to the one who gave us all on the cross, and the one who continues to give us life to steward well. May our prayer of thanksgiving lead to a prayer of asking the Lord for strength and wisdom to steward all that we are and all that we have well. Well. And faith to steward it well. True thanksgiving leads us to recognize our identity as stewards and our responsibility as God's stewards. What does your stewardship say about your faith? What does your stewardship say about your faith? Perhaps this morning a proper response for you to be, for you, Jesus follower, would be to repent of not being a good steward, of limiting stewardship to money. Perhaps a proper response would just be thanksgiving this morning because the Lord has led you and convicted you to be a good steward of all you have and all you are. Perhaps this morning, for you, you're going, I haven't had faith in Jesus. I've just given him lip service. And so the first step in stewardship is coming to him and just seeking forgiveness for your sin and placing faith in Jesus alone, nothing else and no one else and nothing you can do for the salvation of your soul. Let us pray and respond. Father, we love you. We pray that you would lead us to a response that glorifies you and you alone.